and welcome to the podcast of Trinity Vineyard Church Nakuru. You can find our other talks on our archive at trinityvineyard.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast on your other platforms. Here's this week's talk, Baraka.
Hey Trinity family, it's Adam. Here from Athens, Georgia in the U.S., excited to be talking to you guys and that we can connect in this way. I want to talk a little bit with you about sort of this time that we're in, this sort of weird coronavirus season. And one of the things that I've recognized about my own life is that I tend to, whatever season I'm in, I tend to always look forward to the next season. I tend to always sort of be looking ahead to see what it is that's coming next. And, you know, in Kenya, I remember living in the midst of dry season and just longing for rain. But then when the rainy season comes, what happens? We go like, oh, it's so wet, it's so muddy, it's cold. When are we going to be done with this? And that cycle just goes on and on and on. And it's a legitimate thing because you get too much rain and then that's not good. And you get too much dry and that's not good. One of my favorite quotes of all time, we were in the midst of a really long dry season back several years ago in Nakuru. And a guy that some of you know, David Taylor, said to me, you know, Adam, it's so dry that I can tell what part of town I'm in by the taste. Now, that's true. And some of you know that dust gets in the air and it just sort of gets in your mouth and, you know, it's lovely. But we always, or at least for me, I always tend to look toward the next season rather than embracing the season that I'm in currently. And, you know, I think with a season like we're in sort of globally right now, that's really easy to do because we recognize there are people getting sick and people dying from this virus. And for those of us who aren't getting sick, we're having to take extra precautions to make sure that we don't get sick, that we don't get other people sick. And it's not the best of situations. It's not the easiest of seasons. And yet it's really interesting that we're all in this same season together. Like, when is the last time that almost everybody in the world was going through the same thing together? Now, it's important to remember that even though we're all in this together, rich, poor, young, and old, some of us have privilege that allows us to weather this storm a little better than others. And so we need to be mindful of that. We need to be doing what we can for those who maybe don't have the resources that we have, don't have the support systems that we have. And I'm excited to know that Trinity is doing that. You're taking care of your community, which is really, really important in a time like this. But I want to think about this season that we're in and seasons like this and talk a little bit about what it means for us in our life, in our faith, in our community. And so I want to read a really familiar passage, a famous passage from the book of Ecclesiastes. And this is from Ecclesiastes 3 that reminds us that for everything, there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Like right now, no embracing. We're not doing that right now. A time to seek, a time to lose. A time to see, to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Now, if you don't know much about the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us a lot about the things that we kind of mess up, the things that we kind of are dumb about, the things that we think are important that aren't really important. And this particular passage is talking about this idea of seasons. That just like we have seasonal weather patterns, we also have seasons in our lives, in our communities. And the thing that I think is really striking about this is there's a recognition that we live in a broken world and an admonishment to really live in that broken world. You know, it talks about the brokenness. The author here talks about death and killing and things breaking and weeping and mourning and you know, things being lost and stolen and torn, and talks about hate and war and all these things that really are part of the brokenness of our world. And these are things that shouldn't be. These are things that were never meant to be. And yet there is the reality that here we are. This is the world that we live in, a broken world. But there's this sort of idea wrapped in these words, this sort of poem, that this is all part of it. And we have really only one option, which is to live into the season that we're in, to the season that we're given right now. And that's a really, really important message when we go through tough times. You know, I've noticed in my own life that the seasons where I learn the most, where I grow the most, where I sort of rediscover and rekindle things, those are the toughest seasons. When things are really good, I don't learn and grow nearly as much as I do in the hard times. You know, I've been through with family members, with friends, even with my own wife, Melody, these seasons of sickness, like cancer. And most of the time, what you find when you talk to people who have gone through these types of deep bouts of illness is that not only when they come out the other side, because many of them don't, let's be honest, but even as they're in the midst of the worst time of their life, people will talk about the good that has come from that, from realigning their priorities, or from rekindling relationships, or whatever it is that happens, restoring their faith in God. There are times that are desperate times, that are the worst times of our lives, and yet there's still something in there that we can cling to. There is some good to be found. And so I want to talk really quickly about a few things that I've observed in these types of seasons, some opportunities that we have. And the first thing that I think is almost universal in these lower seasons of our lives is this idea of restoration. You know, as we sit in the midst of a global pandemic and so many things in our cultures and our societies and our lives are kind of being torn and ripped at, there's also opportunities here for restoration, a restoration of relationships, of restoration of personal rhythms, restoration of faith and our communication, our relationship with God. You know, some of us, and I'm speaking to myself here, I sometimes get so busy doing all the stuff that needs to be done that I kind of lose sight of some of what's important, of the relationships that are important. There are people that, you know, I really like, and yet I've lost contact with them. Why? Not because I don't have the ability. I mean, we have this technology. But other things just come up, right? A time like this where we're sort of forced to sit, this is sort of like forced solitude, gives me and gives us the opportunity to remember those relationships, those people that now we don't have even a chance to like meet in person. You know, all we have are posts on social media to see about their lives. It gives us an opportunity to reflect and say, you know what, actually, I really like that person. I don't know why we lost touch. Maybe we can come back together. Maybe we can, you know, build on that relationship again. You might restore other things, your marriage. I mean, let's be honest. For those of us who are married, a time of extreme, you know, isolation and quarantine with your family is either a time for things to get a whole lot better or a whole lot worse, right? And we have to make the decision to say, all right, I'm going to pursue restoration in the things in my marriage that maybe aren't so great. Or I'm going to pursue restoration in my relationship with my kids or with my parents, where things, you know, maybe we've struggled before. We're going to take this time. It's going to be intense, but we're going to do it. There's opportunities for restoration in seasons like this. Secondly, I think there's opportunities for redemption. Obviously, in this season that we're in, this Easter time where we're talking about Jesus' death and resurrection, redemption is a big theme. Jesus redeemed the whole world for good. And yet, there are much smaller pieces of redemption that are found, I think, in these times. You know, one of the things that has been really striking to me is how, as we're, you know, isolated from each other and we can't physically be together, how much technology has brought us back together. It's funny because, you know, I think when you look at, like, just think about all the churches who never thought that they would, you know, do online streaming. And suddenly, you know, a lot of times within a matter of days, went from realizing they were gonna have to cancel, you know, their services to figuring out how to stream. Whether it's something as simple as, you know, setting up a phone and running a Facebook Live session, or something more complex with multiple cameras and those sorts of things. All these churches have figured out how to go online, how to stream their services because of this virus. And I suspect that a lot of them will continue to stream services online even after this thing is gone, because they recognize, oh, we can do this, and this actually is a value to people who maybe can't make it out of their home or they live too far away or whatever the situation is. And so this thing that a lot of these same people and a lot of people in general have sort of, you know, trashed over the years. You know, oh, people are too attached to their devices and, you know, the internet and what's it doing to our faith communities and all these sorts of things. Now, all of a sudden, that thing is being redeemed for the sake of the people that we say that we love and that we serve. So that's really interesting to me. I mean, think about social media. Social media has been, you know, just slammed and slammed and slammed for tearing people away from community. And there's legitimate arguments to be made there, you know, that people would rather sometimes stay home and look at Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat than to actually go out and engage with real human beings in real life situations. That's been the narrative. That's been the argument. And yet now that we don't have the option of going out and engaging with people personally, these social media apps are being redeemed. They're our only connection to the outside world. They're the way that we stay in touch with other people and in community with other people. And in some ways have encouraged us and allowed us to connect with people that we wouldn't ever be able to connect with otherwise. You know, I'm able to now be with you guys on a Sunday and to watch, you know, the worship time and to hear the teaching that I couldn't do before. And likewise, I'm able to be with a lot of my other friends. And so there are opportunities for redemption in these seasons where we learn how to take things that maybe we didn't see as good before and redeem them back. You know, I think about Jesus after his death and resurrection, coming in and speaking to his disciples. And there was a moment where there's this guy, Peter, and Peter was going through the worst season of his life. His teacher, his mentor, was, you know, had been tried and put to death. Peter himself had denied knowing Jesus. Basically, he had saved his own skin by saying that he didn't know Jesus. He had nothing to do with Jesus. And Jesus comes and he does both of these first two things that we talked about. He restores Peter, like actually restores his position as a leader, and says, "Hey, I'm going to build my church on you. I'm going to be gone here pretty soon." Like Jesus died, he rose, and then he ascended into heaven. He sort of off he went into the cosmos. Jesus knew that was going to happen, and he knew he needed somebody to lead this church that had started forming. And he assigned that to Peter, this guy who had denied him. He restored his leadership position, and he also redeemed those qualities in Peter that had gotten him in trouble before. You know, if you look at this whole story, starting with the Palm Sunday story and moving towards Easter, what you recognize is that Peter seems to always be the one who's a little bit too out front, a little bit too brash, a little bit too harsh, a little bit too reactionary. And Jesus says, you know what? Those qualities can all be redeemed in your leadership because you're like a rock. You know, rocks aren't like super cuddly. Rocks aren't always smooth. A lot of times they have, you know, jagged edges. That was Peter. Peter's like a rock. And Jesus sort of says, well, what better to build something on than a rock? You know, like you're solid, Peter. These things in you can be redeemed. Lots of opportunities for redemption in these seasons. And lastly, there are opportunities for resurrection. Again, we're talking about Easter. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus's resurrection is what we celebrate this Sunday. But there are many resurrections that can happen for us in this type of season. You know, the beauty from ashes, the idea that even in the rot, even in the death of life, springs new life. And within you, within me, there are these times of resurrection that can come out of these seasons. You know, if you're sitting at home, not able to do other things, and you're not going to church functions, and you're not going to weddings and funerals and other family functions, maybe you have some extra time on your hands. And maybe that extra time is something that you use to develop a new hobby, or maybe to pick up an old hobby that you've left behind. Maybe you haven't, you know, written poems in years, and all of a sudden you sit down and you start to write again, or you haven't played music in a decade, and now you pick up that old guitar and dust it off and start playing again, or whatever it is for you. Maybe it's a resurrection of your faith. Maybe your faith was kind of dead, to be honest, and you now sort of have an opportunity to sit and reflect and recognize God for who he is. Maybe it's a resurrection in your passion for your neighbors, for your community, for your world. You see some of these pandemic stories and you start going, you know what? I've got to be less selfish and I've got to really get out there and help my neighbors do something. Whatever it is, we have opportunities for resurrection in the midst of this time. Certainly every single one of us has a chance right now to see restoration and redemption and resurrection in our faith. That's something that we can do for free, something that doesn't require any special equipment. We can see restoration in our relationship with God. We can find redemption in those qualities in us that we may not be so thrilled about, but we can ask God to show us how we redeem those things. And we can find new life, new sort of springs of hope and love and joy in our relationship with God, even in the midst of this difficult time. And think it's really important that we do that. I think it's really important that we heed the lessons of Ecclesiastes 3, that this is a season. And yes, maybe things were a lot better before. And maybe things will be a lot better later. But all we can do is sort of be where our feet are and live in this moment and find the restoration and the redemption and the resurrection and the opportunities to learn and grow in this time, in this moment, in this season. And I think you can do it. I think I can do it. I want to thank you guys for listening, for hanging out with me. Please reach out. Love to hear from you. And I hope you stay safe, stay home, and we'll get through this. We're all in it together. Thanks a lot.